Good morning. I mentioned yesterday that the Sefer Kol HaTor says that the entire Haftorah that we read on the second day of Rosh Hashanah is a nevuah regarding Moshiach ben Yosef. Before we go on, I wanted to mention, I think we ran out of time yesterday, but see a broader connection between Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei, and Moshiach ben Yosef. There's a famous machlokes, whether the world was created in Tishrei or in Nisan. Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua also have a machlokes about the conditions under which Mashiach will come. Rabbi Eliezer says that it requires tshuva, and Rabbi Yeshua says a little enigmatic statement: if we don't do tshuva, Hashem will send an evil king like Haman to make us do tshuva. We'll discuss when we get to that Gemara what does Rabbi Yeshua mean, but clearly, there's a connection between Rabbi Eliezer, maybe not clearly, but there seems to be a connection between Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that the world's created in Tishrei and that and Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that Moshiach's coming is dependent on tshuva. We saw, and Rishonim say that there isn't really a machlokas that when the world was created, that Hashem thought of it in Tishrei and did it in Nisan. Again, that's a discussion for when we get to that Gemara. But we saw that the Vilna Gaon said that Moshiach ben Yosef's coming is dependent on din, dependent on tshuva. And this all seems to tie together with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Along the lines that they're not arguing, as some Farshim explain, would be Rabbi Eliezer is talking about Moshiach ben Yosef, Rabbi Yeshua is talking about Moshiach ben David. It's all perhaps, but there seem to be some connections there. The main thing for today, today will be our last shiur on Moshiach ben Yosef, is a Hesped delivered by Rav Kook on the 20th of Tammuz, Tafresh Samech Daled, 1904, 7 weeks after he made Aliyah. And he starts out discussing the Gemara in Megillah. I didn't tell you who was a Hesped for, but I will. He starts out quoting Gemara Megillah, which is another place where Moshiach ben Yosef is discussed. And the Gemara there cites a pasuk in Zechariah, "Bayom ahu yigdal ha-mispeid Yerushalayim ki-mispeid hadad rimon b'bikat." On that day, there will be a great hesped in Yerushalayim, like the hesped of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the Gemara there says, we have no idea what that's talking about until you look at Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, who explains that the hesped for Moshiach ben Yosef will be as great as the hesped that was held for King Achav, who was killed by Hadad Rimon, and the hesped for King Yoshiyahu, who was killed in the Valley of Megiddo. So the hesped for Moshiach ben Yosef is equated to these two hespedim for the very righteous king of Yehuda, Yoshiyahu, and the very evil king of Yisrael, Achav. And Rav Kook asks, how is the Hesped of Moshiach ben Yosef like those two Hespedim? And why are there two Meshichim in the first place? And he says that we know that man has a guf and a neshama, man has different forces. The guf and the neshama require different types of forces to keep them strong. The guf and neshama tend to go in different directions. However, in a complete person, they work together, they support each other, they sustain each other. As an aside, Rav Kook, the sefer called Orot HaTshuva, Lights of Tshuva, and the very first chapter of that sefer, he discusses the fact that part of tshuva is good health. There are two very health conscious people here, and I should be one too, but he says that the very basic form of tshuva is to keep yourself in good health. The body also has its form of tshuva. Rav Kook held that the yeshiva curriculum should include exercise. And the Ger Rebbe was a very big admirer, the Imre Emes, Ger Rebbe was a very big admirer of Rav Kook, not necessarily of Rav Kook's political views, but of Rav Kook as a tzaddik, and an immense, one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in the last several centuries. And so the Imre Emes said to Rav Kook, where do you get this idea that yeshiva students should exercise? And Rav Kook said, from the Moreh Nevuchim. And Imre Emes replied, we don't learn that either. Back to the Hesped in Yerushalayim. And this is, by the way, in Sefer Ma'amarei Hari'yah, page 94. There's a guf and a neshama, which are different, and they need to work together. So he says that these two things, the guf and the neshama, are represented by two different tribes, by Yosef, who provided material sustenance to his brothers and to the entire world, and by Yehuda, who is associated with Torah. He doesn't mention this, but Rashi says that Yaakov sent Yehuda to Eretz Goshen to open a yeshiva. So those are the two forces, the two aspects of those two shvatim. Yosef lived among the nations. He spoke 70 languages. Yosef was essentially a man of the world, except with holiness, person very integrated into the world, except that he, as we see the incident of Eshes Potiphar, he kept himself holy. Yehuda represents what's unique about the Jewish people. Pasuk says, and we say in Halal, Hayta Yehuda l'kodesh. Yehuda was, the word kadosh means separate. That's what it really means. And so Yehuda represents the uniqueness of the Jewish people, whereas Yosef represents the Jewish people out in the world, except keeping our holiness. The Gemara later in this parak, Parchelik, relates that Yeravam, first of all, the Navi tells us Yeravam was the first king of Yisrael who split from the Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Yeravam actually worked for Shlomo HaMelech before that. Shlomo HaMelech recognized his potential as a leader and gave him a job to be some kind of economic job responsible for the tribes of Yosef that is described in Tanakh. Gemara later says that Hashem said to Yeravam, do tshuva, and you and I and David HaMelech will walk in Gan Eden. And Yeravam said, who will go first? Hashem said, David HaMelech. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kof Beis, coming up a few years from now. And Yeravam said, if David HaMelech will go first, nothing doing, not interested. What was Hashem offering Yeravam? He was offering him exactly what should be, which is that Yosef is very important. The Midah of Yosef is very important, but it has to be subjugated to the midah of Yehuda. The being out in the world, being connected to the world, all with Kedusha, subjugated to Torah, to the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Rav Kook says that the Jewish people can only achieve their completeness when these two forces are united, the force of Yosef and the force of Yehuda under Moshe, under Dovid HaMelech. Why is there a hesped for Moshiach ben Yosef at all? It seems we said that Moshiach ben Yosef represents the kapara for Yeravam splitting the nation. We're saying now that everything should be united under David HaMelech. In a sense, then it would be good for Moshiach ben Yosef to die. Why is there such this huge hesped at all for Moshiach ben Yosef? Yeah. He says that only after the fact, only when Moshiach ben Yosef is gone, will we realize the potential that Moshiach ben Yosef had. Right now, we don't see. Right now, we see there are some Jews who sit and study Torah all the time. There are some Jews, like everyone at this table, who's out in the world. Hopefully, we're representing Judaism well. Hopefully, we're doing our best to be kadosh. But we see ourselves as we have one lifestyle, and those people who are sitting learning Torah all the time, they have a different lifestyle. But they happen to be our children, but that's besides the point. Only after Mashiach ben Yosef is gone will the entire Jewish people recognize the great potential that existed in these two ways of life, how we could have worked together and fed off of each other in a good way, sustained each other in a good way. And that's the hesped. So why is it compared to hesped for Achav, Russia, and hesped for Yoshiyahu, the tzaddik? Achav had a trait that even though he was an idol worshiper, he had immense love for the Jewish people. He was very interested in the welfare and the honor of Jewish people. He built cities in Eretz Yisrael, and when a foreign king attacked the Torah, he stood up for the honor of the Torah. Happened to be in his personal life, he was Oved Avodah Zarah, murderer, the worst things. But in his call it his national life, his official position, he was very great. Great. He fought for the honor of the Jewish people and for the honor of the Torah. So that is one characteristic. And that is the characteristic of many of the Jews many non-religious Jews today. They're out, they're not living a Torah life. They're not necessarily idolaters and murderers, but they're not living a Torah life. They're living a life completely devoid in their personal lives of Torah. But as soon as it's time to stand up for the Jewish people, they're there, standing up for the Jewish people. That is one characteristic. On the other hand, there's Yoshiyahu, who the very reason he was killed was that he wanted nothing to do with Goyim at all. Mitzrayim wanted to just cross through Eretz Yisrael on his way to fight another kingdom, and he said, "Don't set foot in my land." Complete separation. These two characteristics, Achav, who was a king of the northern tribes, which is the kingdom of Yosef, represents an aspect of Yosef himself, who's out in the world. Again, Yosef did it with Kedusha and with Torah and Mitzvos, but the idea of being out in the world, representing the Jewish people well, standing up for the needs of the Jewish people, is Achav. Yoshiyahu is king of Yehuda, descendant of David HaMelech, and he represents the separateness that Yehuda represents. When Mashiach ben Yosef is killed, it will highlight how these two forces could and should have worked together to bring about the Geula. That's why there's on the one hand, it's a good thing that the difference between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David is eliminated, but on the other hand, it's a very sad thing that we'll look back and realize all the potential that existed for all of us to work together.
So he's got the opinion that it's definitely going to be a Mashiach ben Yosef?
I'm glad you asked. So who is Mashiach ben Yosef? And who is he giving a hesped for? Theodor Herzl. He says that the person we are giving a hesped for today is, he calls him Ikva l'Mashiach ben Yosef. He's the footsteps of Mashiach ben Yosef. He doesn't say Theodor Herzl was Mashiach ben Yosef. Theodor Herzl was the footsteps of Mashiach ben Yosef. A Jew who had no connection to Torah, but who stood up for the honor of the Jewish people, who cared about the Jewish people, perhaps even in a misguided way. But that's not the point. The point was that he cared and he acted for the welfare of the Jewish people along the model of Yosef. He wasn't Yosef, and he was missing the Torah and mitzvos and kedusha that Yosef had. But this idea of working for the Jewish people in a worldly way is the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef. He says, "B'tor ikva de Mashiach ben Yosef," in the footsteps of Mashiach ben Yosef, "Nitgalech hizayon hatzionut bedoreinu," the vision of Zionism has appeared in our day. And later he says, "Alkach tia to'elat hamerirut shorui gamkein," therefore there should be bitterness, mourning, for somebody who we could consider the footsteps of Mashiach ben Yosef, because of his influence on the this great goal of rejuvenating the nation in its material and general sense. Needless to say, he's not actually saying that Theodor Herzl was Mashiach ben Yosef. Also, needless to say, not everyone agrees with this at all. We will, at other times in this year, present other viewpoints. I'm proud to be one of the few people, certainly in the state of Maryland, who owns and studies both the writings of Rav Kook and the Sama Revi. And we will see wide-ranging viewpoints over time. But this is what Rav Kook says. He then goes on and talks about something that mentioned the other day, about the Amoraim who said, "Yetev lo achmine," let him come, but I don't want to see it, because the suffering accompanying the coming of Mashiach will be so great. But Rav Yosef, the Amora Rav Yosef, said, "I do want to see it." He said, "Let him come, and if I merit, I will sit in the shadow of the saddle of his donkey." The donkey, chamor, is related to chomer, to materialism, to material. The word chomer means material. He says that the darkness, the donkey and its burden, its saddle, its burden, create darkness. They create a shadow. Sit in the shadow of the donkey means to sit in the shadow of the material world, which hides Hashem and hides the process of the Geula. Rav Yosef said, however, this shadow will eventually be driven away by the light of Torah, by the light of Mashiach ben David. And I want to be there. I want to be in that darkness to see that light come out, to see that contrast develop. And that is, he concludes by saying that the role of the generation of Mashiach is to use all forces, both very refined forces and very unrefined forces, represented by the donkey. We say Mashiach will come riding on a donkey. Some say that doesn't mean Mashiach is going to come riding on a donkey. Nobody rides donkeys anymore. But the donkey represents Mashiach ben Yosef. So Mashiach ben David will come riding on Mashiach ben Yosef, so to speak. Ties back to what we said the other day, that Mashiach ben Yosef is called Kisei David, the throne of David. Again, it refers to Mashiach ben Yosef preceding and setting the stage for Mashiach ben David. That is one interpretation of the donkey on which Mashiach will be riding. So that is the Spade Yerushalayim, the Hesped for Theodore Herzl, given by Rav Kook. We have a few minutes left. Go back to Kol HaTor. He brings 156 psukim, or phrases in psukim that he says are allusions to Mashiach ben Yosef. And one of them is pasuk that we've mentioned in passing a few times, the Haftorah for Vayigash. Vayigash is the parsha where Yehuda and Yosef are reunited, and the Haftorah there says, take a piece of wood for Yehuda and a piece of wood for Yosef, and bring them together. So it says in there, in this Yechezkel Perek Lamed Zayin, says bring them together, and then afterwards it says there will be one in my hand. So there's a stage where they're two, but they're together, and then there's a stage where they're one in Hashem's hand. And he says that represents that first there will be two Mashiachs, they'll be together serving the same goal, but in the end there'll be one in Hashem's hand, only one end product, which will be the reign of Mashiach ben David. We refer to the footsteps of Mashiach, Ikvos Mashicha. Why do we call them that? He says two reasons. The Ekev also means a heel. When you take small footsteps, like you put your foot next to your heel. So the concept of Mashiach coming, Yerushalmi says that Mashiach will come step by step, it's a very slow process. The Yerushalmi compares it to a sunrise. You go out, it's completely dark, you see a tiny ray of light, and then a second tiny ray of light as the sun begins to come over the horizon, and then very gradually it gets a little lighter and a little lighter until finally it's very bright. And that's the process of Mashiach coming. Again, not as we might have imagined, that there'll just be an announcement, Mashiach's here.
Our opinions like that.
Perhaps, most likely, that is the Mashiach coming at the end of time. If he just shows up at the end of time, that's how it will be. But the Yerushalmi says that's not really how it will play out. It will play out with Mashiach coming, being revealed very gradually. Those who like Rav Kook's Hesped on Theodore Herzl also see in the developments of the last 100 years, this process, or 200 years, really, since the time of the Vilna Gaon, when Aliyah started in earnest, see this process of the light very gradually, the sun rising very gradually, the light of Mashiach being revealed very gradually. And again, there are a lot of people who don't like that understanding. But that's Yerushalmi. That's not some modern rabbi. I mean, that's Yerushalmi says that. So that's one reason why we refer to the Ikvos Mashiach. It's like the taking little steps of, you know, putting your foot next to the heel of your other foot, and then and so on. The second reason is that he says the word Ekev relates to the word Akaf. Change the bays to a pay. Bays and pay are phonetically, if that's the right word, related letters. So switch them. This is something Rav Hirsch does a lot in his commentary. And Akaf means to go around. In other words, the process of Mashiach will be roundabout, not very open and not very obvious, but more roundabout. That's just from the Sefer Kol HaTor, explaining why we refer to the time before Mashiach as the Ikvos of Mashiach. He says that Kol Gadol, it's an important rule, that all the suffering that the Jewish people suffer at the hands of the Goyim, whether the Jewish people as a whole or any individual Jew, lessens the need or the intensity of Milchemes Gog Magog. And every step, all the suffering of the Jewish people, as well as every positive step that the Jewish people make towards resettling Eretz Yisrael and gathering in the exiles, lessens the need for Milchemes Gog Magog and for the suffering of Mashiach ben Yosef. And therefore, the Satan fights it very, very strongly.
The need, or when it comes, it's going to be less painful.
I think both. Lessens the need for a painful, traumatic Milchemes Gog Magog and death of Mashiach ben Yosef. He says that the Satan fights the steps that we take to build Eretz Yisrael and to hasten the coming of Mashiach. One of the famous expressions of the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal, and I make a point of saying Zatzal when I mention the Satmar Rebbe, as well as Rav Kook, is that he argues that sort of exactly the opposite of what Rav Kook is saying. The Geula could not possibly come about through Rishayim and through non-religious people. And everything, by the way, that the Satmar Rebbe writes has a source, like everything else. Sources are subject to interpretation, but he didn't just wake up one day and say, I hate Zionism. It's all Torah-based. So he has sources that argue that Zionism itself and the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael itself is the work of the Satan, and it's our job to oppose it. Exactly the opposite of what Kol HaTor says, purportedly in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that we are bringing Mashiach by rebuilding Eretz Yisrael, and it's the Satan who's fighting it. Like everything else, we don't know for sure which is right. We choose our posek, and we do what our posek tells us, whether our posek is Rav Kook or the Satmar Rebbe or someone in between. There's a famous Gemara in Sukkah about about conversation between Sason and Simcha. Over Sukkos, you might hear somewhere a drasha about this. And there's a famous explanation of the Vilna Gaon about this, which I'm not going to, there's no time to say now. Kol HaTor quotes the Vilna Gaon as saying it's a allusion to two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, and that if he had only come into this world to understand that one Gemara about Sason and Simcha, it would have been worthwhile. So when we get to Masechet Sukkah, Yirtzeh Hashem, we can talk about it. Like I said, the Sefer is called for a lot of repetition. There are other chidushim here, but we've covered pretty thoroughly the topic of Mashiach ben Yosef. This will be the last year on Mashiach ben Yosef. Yirtzeh Hashem, he'll come soon, and we'll get to see if we were right about anything, unless he's come already. Mashiach should come b'mehira b'yameinu, and when it happens, we'll know. And when it happens, we'll know how it's going to happen, and so on. Have a good day.